Kessler Vein Pumping Station, Nam Chorios.
Vestaro was the first to emerge, peering out from beneath the partially raised hatch to make sure no one was in sight outside, then raising the hatch and slipping out onto the dusty enclosure within the town limits of Kessler Vein. The woven durasteel netting fence around the enclosure seemed intact, at least as intact as she and her companions had left it. Late afternoon winds still swirled dust throughout the enclosure and beyond, and the wind and chill of the air hit her like an unexpected plunge into an icy stream. Ben was out next, then Luke, who lowered the metal hatch and spun the heavy metal ring atop it to seal it. He gave the teenagers a look that was half rueful and half encouraging. One more down. Ben's own expression was more exasperated.
One more experienced. Dad, if I never see another underground water pumping station or one more drock, I'll be happy.
Vestara patted her increasingly voluminous backpack.
We still have plenty of cans of drock spray.
Yeah, but do we have any bottles of brain bleach?
Luke grinned and led the way to the hole they'd cut in the fence. Keeping to back alleys where possible, they made their way through the small town to its border and out onto the crystalline sands beyond, to the hill that lay between town and the spot where they'd hidden their stolen speeder. Kessler Vein had been an easy site to investigate. Its pumping station was completely automated and was visited for maintenance and diagnostics only occasionally by the old-timer workers who managed it. There had been no sign of encampment by Abeloth or any Theron listeners. There had been some drocks, but chiefly of the tiny variety. On their walk back to the speeder, Vestara checked her comlink, set to receive the intermittent locator pulse broadcast by the vehicle. It came about a minute into their walk, just a couple of degrees off the course they had taken. They corrected and kept going. A few minutes later, the hill, somewhat obscured by a cloud of dust flowing past like a river, came within sight. They skirted its north face and then descended into the cleft where they'd left the speeder. Visibility was better in this ravine. Dust no longer driven by the wind drifted down like a thin haze, but it was nowhere near as bad as the dust clouds on the unsheltered surface above. The speeder was still where they'd left it, some 50 meters away when they rounded a bend. But on the ridge above it, perhaps 20 meters up, was a Blue Air speeder, a wide-bodied model designed for carrying entire families or a pilot and a fair amount of cargo. It was not running and had been set down on the lip of the ravine, perhaps a meter of its front end protruding over empty air. A line descended from the winch on the front of the speeder down to within 4 meters of the ravine floor. Yet there was no sign of anyone about. Ben glanced in all directions and put his hand on the hilt of his lightsaber, which was hung out of sight at the back of his belt.
Not good.
Vestara pulled her lightsaber from its clip. With some reluctance, she opened herself to the force. Reluctance because the usual result on Nam Chorios, a paranoid sense of being watched by hundreds of aloof observers, did not give her an improved understanding of her surroundings or the probable dangers around her. This time, she got the usual result. Luke continued to lead the way to the speeder.
If their snipers were already in their sights, so be...
Vestara Kai!
The voice was a distant wail, high-pitched, like a keening ghost from a spooky holodrama. It echoed from the ravine walls. Ben glanced back at her.
It's for you.
She scowled at him.
You're not helping.
There was a blur of motion, and then a woman landed atop their airspeeder, clearly having jumped up from ground level behind it. She was of average height, lean, a little broad in the shoulder, with dark skin and short black hair. Like Luke, Ben, and Vestara, she wore garments suited to newcomers, pants and a lined jacket of hard-wearing cloth, sturdy leather boots, an overcloak and hood, goggles. Vestara gave her a close look, as close as she could at this distance.
Who are you?
You know me, traitor.
The woman raised her arms high, stretching, then put her hands down on her hips. She twisted her body back and forth, a loosening up exercise.
And it's time for your companions to die, and for you to be taken to your father for questioning.